Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. With me today is spoken word poet and author Kim Rosen and composer and cellist visionary Jamie Sieber to talk about their newest release, Feast of Losses. Jamie and Kim have awakened listeners around the world to the power of poetry and music to heal and transform individuals and communities. Kim Rosen is the author of Saved by a Poem, The Transformative Power of Words, and she combines her devotion to poetry with her background in psychotherapy and spirituality as she continues to lead retreats and inspires us to find our authentic voice. Jamie Sieber, electric cellist and vocalist, reaches inside the soul with compositions that are contemporary, timeless, lush, and powerfully evocative. Her style of performance has been recognized internationally. She is an innovative musician, and her music moves beyond the surface, seeking and re-seeking truth by creating musical bridges and connections, committed to doing what moves her and inspires her listeners with honesty and musical excellence and humanity. Both Jamie and Kim have a lifelong commitment to the environment, social justice, world peace, the healing arts, and they both believe that the arts are a medium to express the interconnectedness of all beings. Welcome, Jamie, and welcome, Kim, to Voice Rising.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kara. Happy to be here.
It's so good to have you with. For those out there that are listening to this on audio, this is an audio. This is purely an audio interview, and so we were kind of smiling at the beginning that we can't wink back and forth when someone's going to jump in. So I'm going to say the names as we just share about poetry and this wonderful album. So, Jamie, both of you have been facilitating explorations of difficult and very necessary themes, themes such as aging, death, waking up, and you've been doing it for many years. You've been weaving beauty and music together, and that also with the power of spoken word. You also have another album out there where and I believe you do a lot of performances where we're doing poetry and spoken word together with your beautiful music. Your new album, which was just released, is a culmination of your shared love for this realness, this rawness, the intimacy, and you're honoring poets on this album, such as Mary Oliver, Langston Hughes, Stanley Kunitz, Mary Howe, Ellen Bass, Lucille Clifton, Mark Nepo, and so many more. So it's all about letting go, feast of losses, and at the same time, it's about celebrating and being in gratitude for letting go. After reading and speaking and living with these poems, probably in your back pocket, walking with them through the woods, how does it feel to let go of them and release them as an offering to this world?
Wow, well, that's quite an involved question, Cara.
Yeah.
You know, how it came together is that Kim envisioned this. And as you can imagine, and you have probably experienced over the last few years, loss and sorrow and as well as all the emotions that come with loss and sorrow, which is love and joy and appreciation for life, has been a common topic. And so mm-hmm. when Kim approached me to do this album with the theme of aging, loss, death, it just felt so right. Like, there was no question as to whether we wanted to dive into it. And just in terms of the number of years we've been doing this, you know, Kim has been working, and she can speak more to it, leading workshops for over 30, 35, 40 years. And I do not have a psychotherapy background, but I have a nursing background. And so I have been involved with end-of-life work, using music, as well as just working as a nurse end-of-life. And then also collaborating with Kim in these workshops where music is almost, as someone once said, the enzyme to help digest whatever teachings or whatever poems or whatever words of wisdom come out of Kim's mouth, which oftentimes happens.
Beautiful.
So yeah, I am. We, you know, we're a beautiful collaborative team of coming from two different worlds, and I don't know if you want to speak to that, Kim.
Yeah, also. Kim, I'm sure speak to do. That.
Well, there is no music on the planet, even before this album, that I would turn to myself if I wanted to feel held in the deep feelings that come with all the letting goes of our life. We don't need to be, I mean, you may not even, I'm speaking to the listening audience, you may not even include yourself under the category of aging. Of course, we all are, but moment by moment, day by day, within this day, no matter what time of day it is for you right now, you have probably, in the tiniest and biggest ways, been faced with a need to let go of something 10 times today already. There's the tiny, what I call the everyday death, to me, are as important, as crucial as the mortal death that we all are heading towards. And there's no soundtrack in the world that could be more perfect for me, my own heart, than Jamie's music. And so when I hit my 65th birthday, I said, what is the footprint I want to leave on this planet when I go? And I have been giving courses called, originally they were called Death's Door, Undefended at the Threshold, which was about turning towards the big and the little dyings in our lives. And Jamie's music in, you know, the music she'd already written was already a soundtrack for those workshops. There's a lot of work being done in the field of consciousness right now around being with dying and preparing for death, but a lot of it is about learning practical or even other spiritual paths that have knowledge about the death process. What I do is I create environments where people can safely feel what they feel and allow the wisdom to come from within in an alchemy of poetry and music and breath and movement. So it was a no-brainer to reach out to Jamie and say, hey, nothing interests me these days, anything like turning towards death. There's nothing I want to do other than that. And you are the companion for me in this. And I do want to say that the recording process, the process of creating this album has been perhaps the most joyful thing, the most consistently joyful and pleasurable and upbeat thing I've ever done in my life. So I don't want to portray it as, you know, a sitting Shiva through the whole album. Mm-hmm. It's quite an upbeat album, and the ingredients have been pure joy going into it.
Yeah, maybe that's the transformation, the nurturing quality of darkness that brings us spring, right? I mean, you did release this album in the, I don't know if it was a conscious choice, we're in the Northern Hemisphere, I know in the, you know, in places like Australia, we have the summertime, but it is a time of you know, longer, darker days and chilly weather where all of us are living. And there is quite the alchemy when we learn to nurture this deep letting go process and to trust and have faith with what is can be born anew, right? Mm-hmm. I want the listeners to be able to hear some of this beauty. We can't listen to the whole album tonight, but we do want to share the exquisite beauty that you guys have created in this new album, Feast of Losses. And I want to start with a poem by Stanley Kunitz, which is called Live the Layers. And he opens it with the lines, I have walked through many lives, some of them my own, and I'm not who I was, though some principle of my being abides from which I struggle not to stray. And then he continues, and this is my question, is this the inspiration behind the title of your album? Mm. How shall the heart be reconciled to its feast of losses?
Mm. Yes. The answer is yes. Yes. That yes. is the inspiration. And that is a poem called The Layers by Stanley Kunitz. And the inspiration is really how absolutely exquisitely he, as only a poet could, was able to name the joy and the anguish in continuing to walk through the lives we are given.
So let's listen to you, Kim, and Jamie performing, or the recording, The Layers by Stanley Kunitz, which is off your new album, Feast of Losses. And just savor these words.
Some of them my own. And I am not who I was. Though some principle of being abides, from which I struggle not to stray. When I look behind, as I am compelled to look before I can gather strength to proceed on my journey, I see the milestones dwindling toward the horizon and the slow fires trailing from the abandoned campsites over which scavenger angels wheel on heavy wings. Oh, I have made myself a tribe out of my true affections, and my tribe is scattered. How shall the heart be reconciled? its feast of losses. In a rising wind, the manic dust of my friends, those who fell along the way, bitterly stings my face. Yet I turn exulting somewhat, with my will intact to go wherever I need to go. And every stone on the road, precious to me. In my darkest night, when the moon was covered and I roamed through wreckage.
We faded out. The poem continues, so you guys are going to have to just buy this album, because we are buy the album, stream it, go to kimrosen.net or jamiesieber.com, because the line that's about to come, and we're going to hold this line in our thought while we do the break, and then I guess Kim will answer this. He says, a nimbus clouded voice directed me, live in the layers, not the litter. And then he continues, of course, which I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger, of course, so you can stream it and buy it and discover this incredible poem, The Layers, by Stanley Kunitz. But the question is that we're going to all contemplate on during the break is, when we say, when we explore the voice and we explore this nimbus clouded voice directed me, my question to Kim is, when you're putting together a project like this, do you hear a clear voice within all the chattering and other things that might be going on in this world and going on around you? Is there a clear voice that appears, or is it more of a sensation that pulls you in a certain direction? How's that? And now we're going to take a small break and be back in 3 minutes.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. Today I am with acclaimed composer and cellist Jamie Sieber and poet, spoken word artist Kim Rosen. And their most recent release, Feast of Losses, is simply a masterpiece and destined to touch the lives of many. So, Kim, we were just closing with the excerpt, you'd have to say, of the poem by Stanley Kunitz, The Layers. And the question is, do you hear a clear inner voice that guides you?
Or, yeah. I wish. I mean, is that part of anyone's operating system? I know there are people who sit down and channel the Course in Miracles and things like that. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't. You know, I really love that you picked out that line from the poem, "In my darkest night, when the moon was covered and I roamed through wreckage, a nimbus clouded voice directed me. Live in the layers, not on the litter."
Yeah.
You know, so for myself, just as an individual person, I've had a couple of dreams in my whole life, which is many years, maybe two dreams that had guidance that was that clear.
Yeah.
But mostly I am simply stumbling along, trying to do my best to align my outer being with the inner sense of who I am. You know, like an airplane coming in through fog, I'm just listening for the signals that are guiding me home, but they don't come as clear as a voice for me. What about you?
Jamie, do you feel that? Do you sense that clear voice, or is it also sometimes simply clouded and foggy?
You know, I don't know that I would call it a clear voice. You mm-hmm. know, I think sometimes, as I've told Kim before, words are not my first language. So mm-hmm. I don't think that voice would come in a words or a message, but mm-hmm. I do know the deep magic of going to my instrument and playing something that I had no idea was going to come out, but that somehow was, that was given, whether I'm alone or whether Kim and I are in what we call a woodshed, where we're just steeping in the process of creating, you know? And so it's, you know, I don't know that I view it as a clear voice, or if it's just something that is passing through the ethers and somehow takes a left turn into my ear and heart.
That's great. Yeah. And could I but, just add? Oh, also, sorry.
Yeah.
Just to jump in, if that's all right. I do want to say, like Jamie, I think part of the reason I have had learning poems by heart as a spiritual practice since 1994 is because the poems are a clear voice. And because they are inside me, when I'm speaking a poem, especially when I'm speaking it with Jamie in a co-creative moment when the music is arising and the poem is arising, although the poem is not original, I never know what poem is going to arise in any moment. I know about 200 poems by heart. I don't know which one's going to come. And it is a kind of divination and, you know, that feeling of utter clarity that Jamie describes with her instrument, where the poem unfurls from inside me in a way I've never heard it before. Even though I may have known it for 30 years.
I love that practice that you're talking about, learning poems by heart, because I think that so many of us in school, we're kind of beat the poems. You know, we're forced to learn a few complicated poems by heart. But if we, like I said, and normally how I learn my lyrics in concert is I write them out, and then I literally walk with them in my back pocket through the woods, and then I start speaking them and singing them. And if I forget a line, I pull it back out and look at it, and it's in my own handwriting, and then I tuck it back in. And so, I mean, there are different ways to learn things, but there's a power in having these, like you said, these clear, or these poems that are just timeless, right? Mm-hmm. And that touch on such humanity, to have them memorized and to be able to pull them out in these moments, whether it's celebration or grieving or deep loss.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful practice. I want the listeners to listen to The Light That Came to Lucille Clifton, which is actually by Lucille Clifton. Who would like to speak on this poem before we listen in? Just say your name before you answer, okay?
Well, I'll just say quickly that Lucille Clifton was a teacher of mine. She's passed away I won't even begin to say how many years ago, but not a lot of years ago. She's an incredible icon of the poetry community, and she's so playful in almost every one of her poems, and this is one of my favorite tracks. And Jamie, would you just say a few words about it, because it certainly has many layers inside the music.
Well, all I can say is it was really fun creating it. It's the poem, as you will hear, has such life, and Ken's voice in it is just incredible. So it was just fun creating the music with
If you listen closely, you'll hear Jamie's voice in it too.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm singing, and my friend Hans Teuber is the clarinetist, and he just, you know, that's also the fun part of making a record, is going into the studio and inviting these other musicians and singers to come in and put in their magic.
Exactly. So let's listen. The Light That Came to Lucille Clifton, off of Feast of Losses album.
The light that came to Lucille Clifton came in a shift of knowing, when even her fondest sureties faded away. It was the summer she understood that she had not understood, and was not mistress even of her own off eye. Then the man escaped, throwing away his tie, and the children grew legs and started walking. And she could see the peril of an unexamined life. She closed her eyes, afraid to look for her authenticity. But the light insists on itself in the world. A voice from the non-dead past started talking. She closed her ears, and it spelled out in her hand, "You might as well answer the door, my child. The truth is furiously knocking." Clifton came in a shift of knowing, when even her fondest sureties faded away. Bye. It was the summer she understood that she had not understood, and was not mistress even of her own off eye. Then the man escaped, throwing away his tie, and the children grew legs and started walking. And she could see the peril of an unexamined life. She closed her eyes, afraid to look for her authenticity. But the light insists on itself in the world. A voice from the non-dead past started talking. She closed her ears, and it spelled out in her hand, "You might as well answer the door, my child. The truth is furiously knocking."
The truth is furiously knocking. That was the poem, The Light That Came to Lucille Clifton. And when she says, okay, I'm going to go to Kim on this one, but yes, Jamie, we heard your voice, and I'm so happy that your voice is on this album. Kim, when she says she could see the peril of an unexamined life, there is a spiritual practice which is all about asking good questions. So I guess that is the question for you as we take the time maybe to reflect on our inner landscapes. What kind of questions might we use to expand and explore rather than to confine and limit?
Well, I can't remember what I was looking at or reading the other day, but whoever it was said it is the task of art to ask questions, not to answer them. And in a way, that's why I turn to poetry, but it could be to visual art. It could, and it certainly with me, it is to music. Or dance. But I was thinking about how I do not like a poem that's giving me answers. I'm not saying that there are not good poems that do that, and many people do like those poems. But for me, it's really about asking the question, even as in a Zen koan, which is an impossible to solve question to take into meditation. The purpose is not the answer. It's what happens to you in the process of not knowing through the question. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not exactly answering your question here. I will say that poems are the questions I turn to. I love that line. I love the lines you're picking out, Kara, in these poems, the peril of an unexamined life. I'm sure that in some way we all know that peril, right? Where things just start to happen to you, like you're in this avalanche and you don't have any idea how it happened. Because the life hasn't been examined deep enough to see the roots of what's unfolding for you. You know, so I will say, just in answer, I will say to your question, what are the questions? I would say for me, the questions are the poems that open space of inquiry inside me. And of course, maybe always the one question is, who am I? What am I? What is, I don't mean who am I, little self, although that can be it, but what is this that animates this flesh? What a miracle. Which, of course, is Ramana's question, but it is the question that we're all living. What is this that's moving this body around?
Yeah. No, it reminds me of a workshop I did a long, long time ago where we sat and looked in each other's eyes in this whole who am I, right? And then you start with all these roles and identities. And at the end, after about 3 days of, you know, I'm the singer, I'm the mother, I'm the this, I'm the that, I'm, you know, I'm so and so many years old, you realize it's a miracle. It's a mystery. Mm-hmm. It's, you don't know who you are. You're more confused and more grateful than ever because you're part of the stars and the earth.
Yeah.
And that's, you know. So Jamie, there's another line, Jamie, which I love so much. When even her fondest sureties faded away, so what role, because this album is called Feast of Losses, what role does, it's kind of like lost and found, what role does grieving and going through loss play in finding more pieces of ourselves?
Wow. You know, I think, that's such a huge question. You know, what I know for myself is that when I deny anything that is furiously knocking at my door,
mm-hmm.
I feel lost,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that it's only through recognizing, you know, the everyday losses that Kim talks about, that she mentioned earlier, that you know, in our society, we keep hanging on to the fact that loss is depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Loss is something, don't talk about it. You know, it's like, it's a bummer. It's sad. It's, you know, but what I have felt, as Kim mentioned, the process of making this album is that there is such deep, ecstatic joy in awakening to what comes up when we lose parts of ourselves, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. there is something else that is awakening. There is something else that's being asked of us. There's, you know, that we just always, I mean, for me, a big question is, what am I being at? What is this situation asking of me in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than running away from the sorrow, the grief, I feel like that's where we can find our common humanity, is that because we are all feeling losses, whether we admit it or not, mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah.
And particularly in these last few years, I feel like it's been a common thread that will make us better humans if we can awaken to it and sit with it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. We're going to take a small break. Jamie and Kim, hang tight. We're going to be back in a couple of moments.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. Today I am with the acclaimed composer and cellist Jamie Sieber and poet, spoken word artist, author Kim Rosen, and their most recent release, Feast of Losses, is a masterpiece. That's what it is. And it's destined to touch many, many lives. So we ended with this sense of, yeah, loss being something profoundly also beautiful, an opening, an awakening that if we consciously maybe let go of parts of ourselves or things that no longer serve us, that we make room for newness or renewal. And I want to get this poem in here. It's one of my favorites. And then we can go deeper into the conversation. But you know, Mary Oliver is such a, I mean, all of the poets on your album are exquisite poets, right? And I think it must be incredibly difficult to choose which poems even to put on an album like this, because there is so much exquisite poetry out there. But this one, When Death Comes, has been a poem that I've carried with me for many years. And Kim, what would you say about this poem, When Death Comes, by Mary Oliver, before we listen in?
There are a few poems on the album. I mean, every poem I speak is a prayer, but there are a few that are just, they're built as prayers. And this is a poem that is a prayer, and I want everyone to learn it by heart, everyone in the world, because basically Mary Oliver is saying many things, but one of them is, I want to step through that door full of curiosity.
Yes.
And if we free the word death from the mortal end of the mortal body, and we just say, I want to step through that door. What's the door in your life right now? It could be my next sentence. It could be Kara's next question. Mm-hmm. What an incredible portrait of the enlightened path to step through the door of the next moment full of curiosity. To me, that's what it means to walk without fear. And so this is why I love this poem. And this poem, you know, can address any situation. It can address a Rotary Club meeting, you know, mm-hmm. entering into this meeting full of curiosity, or address, you know, doing your taxes. Like, imagine. But in fact, it's, you know, it's, and my guess, I just want to say also, my guess is we can't play the whole track online, but as much as the beginning of the track where the poem is, as important is the end of the track, which you probably won't hear here, which is, I don't know how long it is, a 5 to 7 minute, what's called an outro, which is so brilliant among so many musicians, that leads you deeper and deeper into the poem that, even though it's not being spoken, is still resonating in the air. I just want to kind of titillate the audience with the reality of that outro as maybe one of my favorite parts of the album.
Beautiful. Let's listen into When Death Comes by Mary Oliver.
Step through the door full curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like? That cottage of darkness. And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea, and I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, ending as all music does, towards silence. And each body a lion of courage, and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say all my life I was a bride, married to amazement.
Another cliffhanger. I was a bridegroom. You know this, Kim. Speak the last lines of this poem. Speak them for us.
When it's over, I want to say, all my life, I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to find myself sighing and fearful or full of argument. I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. Mary Oliver, When Death Comes.
Yeah, one of her lines that are quoted so often, when it's over, I want to say all my life was a bride married to amazement. And if we could all just, I think you said it so correctly, right? That every moment, even the taxes, even the Rotary Club meeting, can be that moment of saying, can I meet this with curiosity and amazement? Can I turn my life into a journey that is sacred and fun and beautiful and joyful? Yeah. So on this album, Feast of Losses, there's something very, or I think I saw it on Kim's homepage, creating a deep listening community. You've discovered that this album is perfect for gathering together with friends and listening from beginning to end with the best sound boxes possible. The most beautiful tea or glass of wine or sunset, or just creating a really beautiful space. And that listening from beginning to end without any kind of interruption can be deeply healing. Share with us how we can create these deep listening communities, or what your vision is for this album, for our world. How can we listen with more intimacy?
Yeah, well, this idea came out of the fact that both Jamie and I wanted to share the album with the people we loved, start to finish. And so we just did our own, we invited people over and we played the album. And what we found is that the environment that being together with loved ones in this music and poetry, that it gave rise to the deepest conversations to unfold afterwards. You know, there's a lot of talk, at least among those I know, about becoming more literate in relation to death and loss and bringing it more into the conversation. There are death cafes, there are death dinners, there are death workshops. You don't know about these. Oh, just Google it. It's a movement. It's a movement. And so we're inviting listeners to create their own very, very precious environment while we're all still alive together to listen to these words and music that literally have an alchemical, biochemical impact on the consciousness to melt our defenses so that when we arise from having listened to the whole album together, we are naked in a way together in the joys and the sorrows that we share as a community. And conversations can happen that don't happen easily under other circumstances.
I love that idea. Yes, I wasn't aware of it. Cafes where maybe spoken word poets are performing.
Well, that's a good idea. That's not what it is, but that's
death
great.
Cafes. Death cafes are people speak. I love that idea because I think they are really tricky and hard topics. You see that in families often. Jamie said you were in, you know, the nursing profession. You just see that some people, it's easy for the brother maybe to talk to the mother who's passing, but at the same time, the other brother doesn't want to talk, and then there's all this tension. And what a wonderful idea to create, to create listening communities and to create places where we can gather and we're not maybe directly involved with a loved one who's in the process of dying. We can just start making friends with death, right?
I mean,
at some point we're all gonna, at some point we all came. I mean, 100 years ago we were not there. And at some point we're gonna all go. And that's just how it is, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. One very last quick question. The original meaning of medicine was actually to prevent illness. And we have more and more research on music medicine. And we have lots of research and sound healing coming into hospitals. Do a quick answer on could we call this poetry medicine? Poetry medicine for our soul.
I'll jump in here. You allow me to say something that I really wanted to say, which is that there is a shamanic alchemy that happens when you put a poem together with music. It's not what you want to, you don't want to do it with every single poem, but sometimes it disarms the brain and we fall into our hearts in a way that for me, nothing else takes me there. And so I've been doing poetry medicine, poetry therapy, ever since 1994. But the whole purpose is always to disarm the brain, to let go of who we think we have to be and discover who and what we are. That's the purpose of going to the symphony and listening to the music. We're listening to ourselves in the steepage of that music, you know, and in the same way with these poems and music, we become helplessly vulnerable to ourselves, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing, because we do find out the question, who am I really, you know, when those armaments fall away.
Who am I? And then we realize we don't know. And then we get to seek a little bit more and breathe a little bit deeper. And so for all of you listeners out there, this was Feast of Losses album, and Kim Rosen, if you're tuning in a little bit late, you know, go back, listen to the complete interview. All of these interviews are archived, so kimrosen.net is where you can find Kim, and jamiesieber.com. I thank you both for being on the show. I'm sure the album is available It looks like it's available in a hard copy, which is still very rare and amazing for those people that have sound systems. And if not, it's available to be streamed everywhere. So no excuses. You can walk with it in the woods. You can sit with it. You can take a bubble bath and listen to it. It's a beautiful album. I congratulate the two of you for, yeah, doing this shamanic work, which is so important for our world. I thank you so much for being at Voice Rising and wish you all the best.
May I just clarify that the album is only available as a download. You won't find it on Spotify.
It's not streaming everywhere.
Very good.
You can buy the download through Jamie's website, and please do that right now.
Oh, okay, good. But it is also available as hard copy because you have beautiful cover art. You have beautiful cover art, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Galen,
can I make one other point in response to your question about medicine, to leave you with the fact that with grief, we are so often drawn into our individual loss, which isolates us. And through the sharing of this album and the community of these listening, suddenly we are joined in our collective humanity of everyone feeling loss,
beautiful,
grief, joy, love, all of it.
Beautiful. Here's to us, you guys. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.